What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 121 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the courtside once again, Joey. What's poppin', buddy?
Well, John, I just learned something very fun. So if you leave Twitch unmuted during the time that our intro song is playing, it comes over across all different speakers. I really thought my computer was about to spaz out during that intro. It was great times.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, at least you could hear the music this time. I know you've always said like sometimes the music has to come over Discord very well, but you know this time I'm happy that you're able to hear our intro music.
Yeah, because Discord was still cutting out during the intro, but Twitch was still going, so it was a little trippy. Got a little trippy over here.
Outstanding Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, make sure to give Joey and myself a follow. That's Joey at Courtside King and Fiasco myself. That's John. That was backwards, but we'll roll with it. If you're watching live here on Twitch, welcome to the show. Those handles are below our amazing mugshots that you're looking at right now. And if you are listening on the podcast later on, show notes, you know the drill. You've been there before. My nation, before we kick off episode 121, we want to give a special shout out to one of our newest Patreon members, Liam Kelly. Thank you so much for the support, Liam, and we hope you're enjoying all the amazing bonus content as well. Nation, you too can receive all that awesome bonus content from being a Patreon. All the Patreon exclusive bonus content from being a Patreon member. Head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider joining Liam and the rest of Level Up Nation on Patreon. Nation, much like Joey's beloved Xbox section that seems to appear every week, Apex has been making itself known as well ever since its launch 1 month ago. Lunch? I said lunch or launch? I'm pretty sure I said lunch. Ever since its launch 1 month ago. And it broke a major record 72 hours after that launch, and now it has hit another major milestone. That is just one topic this week on episode 121. Joey, what else are we talking about this week?
John, as always, we have some roster changes going on. Some people leaving rosters, some people joining rosters. You know the agenda there. On top of that, we have some more money being raised in esports, this time with G2 Esports making some great money. We have some other stuff coming in as well as far as MLB esports and the future of what that could look like. And I'm sure you and I are going to have a great time talking about that one, as well as the latest news in League of Legends.
All right, Joey, that is a ton of esports and gaming news we have to cover today. So we're going to need a little assistance. We're going to need assistance from our beloved beverages, also known as the Drink of Choice segment on the Level Up Podcast. So, Joey, for the 121st time, that is a lot of beverages, sir. What are you drinking today?
John, so I am switching things up completely. I had a wedding this past weekend, and I drank plenty there. So giving the liver a break and going with espresso tonight, because I do have a late night ahead of me. This espresso comes from Budapest.
Espresso, Joe, you have just blown my mind. I was not expecting the espresso route, nor the origin of the espresso from Budapest. That alone is impressive, sir. I don't know why I'm doing this. I feel like the last time I had this on the show, we had a very clippable moment that a lot of people missed. I am going to be having a margarita again. And this time I am using my amazing U.S. soccer, the official soccer bar of the U.S. soccer glass that I may or may not have taken several years ago from an undisclosed pub.
The official bar? We have to know the official bar.
No, because I technically stole it. I'm not going to say the bar. but no, I'm joking. It was not stolen. It was actually given away to everyone that registered for the watch party. This was actually provided by the U.S. Men's soccer team, or U.S. Soccer Federation, I should say. That is Summers in Arlington, Virginia. So if you're by Summers, also the home to the official D.C. FC Bayern Munich fan club, which I'm an awesome founding member of, but we're not gonna stop plugging soccer here.
Propaganda. But
this is a margarita, salted on the rim. Last time I had this, it wound up on my pants and my gaming chair because I spilt it. So, if you're watching on Twitch, you may be in for a treat later on if I decide to knock it all over myself. Joey, we have our beverages. Enough about soccer. Enough about me making a mess out of myself. It is time to get right into gaming and esports. Let's go.
It is, but we got to talk about you making a mess of yourself a little bit more.
Please, no.
Unfortunately, guys, this was before we started uploading to YouTube. I think you had just turned it over to me. I had started talking for, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. And John's face, you hear this splash, and then it just goes blank. Like pure horror.
It was
amazing.
It was, you know, I don't know what was. I was upset about the fact that I just lost a beautiful margarita. I make some really good margaritas, but.
Ooh.
I don't know if I was upset about losing the alcohol or the fact that I had to sit in a puddle of margarita in my gaming chair with margarita-soaked pants for the remainder of the show. So, yeah, it was cold. It was very cold. So I'm not happy about it. We're not going to have a repeat, Joey. So can we finally get into gaming and esports news?
Let's do it.
Thank you.
So kicking it off, we have a little bit of Battle Royale news coming out as far as rosters. Ghost Gaming is adding Shrimpsy to their PUBG roster. And then over in Apex, we have 100 Thieves adding Teenage, a previous H1Z1 player and ranked number one Widowmaker in Overwatch League, to their team, alongside Lifted, another former H1Z1 pro who is in the top 10 leaderboard of kills with Teenage as well. So two huge additions as far as Apex Legends goes for 100 Thieves, and Ghost Gaming also adding to PUBG.
Yeah, two I don't know if you want to continue or not. Yeah, two great additions there. So Ghost adding Shrimpsy for their PUBG roster. That's awesome. You know, PUBG, really one of the first Battle Royale titles. Again, we've mentioned it before, to really kind of lay out a somewhat acceptable esport model for their game. Still waiting for Fortnite to figure that out. But Fortnite, it's too busy playing catch up to Apex. And it's great to see 100 Thieves adding Teenage onto their Apex team. This is a game that is taking the gaming and esports world by storm. Joey's taken a lot of our time together. You know, when we play, playing Apex constantly, such a great game. So it's really, really cool to see a major organization like 100 Thieves also see that as well and make that investment into Apex 2.
Not only that, John, but making a huge investment here, adding two players in the top 10 in kills. Teenage, I believe he was tied for 41 kills, which was a record. I don't remember if that's still the record. I want to say it's now 46. But overall, I mean, that's a huge amount of kills in one game, 41. Now you have two of those top 10 players. It did not say which leaderboard that goes off of, so that could be the NA-only leaderboard. It could be all of them together. As far as a global, I'm not 100% sure on that. Either way, two top 10 players, you're looking really good, especially with this growing scene. And I love the way that 100 Thieves has already looked into this. You have so many organizations trying to buy into Apex, but 100 Thieves already making the deals. That's going to put them really a leg ahead of the competition going into esports for Apex. Grego has rejoined Cloud9 for Apex as well. So he was formerly an Overwatch player with them. I believe he was a Lucio main at the time. A great support player in the Overwatch scene. Cloud9 unfortunately cut ties with him when they decided to add half of South Korea and the teams that they had down there to their Overwatch roster. They owned four teams at one point. Unfortunately, Grego was not one of the top supports of those four to five teams that they owned. He did not make the roster moving forward, but now he's back as an Apex player. A great, very talented player. I'm expecting big things from him, John.
Yeah, I like that comment, how they added half of Korea. yeah, no, so Grego, so this one hits home for me. Grego is one of those streamers that I really loved watching, being a support player myself in Overwatch. Really, really cool personality, really great. You know, he's great at interacting with his chat and his community and everything he's building up over there. Really cool to have him part of the Cloud9 family when he was back with Overwatch. Unfortunately, like Joey said, when they signed half of Korea, you know, the All-American team pretty much went bye-bye. But it's great. Grego is a great personality. When I saw this news, Joey, I'm not going to lie, I don't get that excited anymore when I see, like, really cool roster signings. When I saw Grego came back to Cloud9, I actually was incredibly excited. I love watching his streams. I love watching his content. He's a great competitor. He's just one of those all-around great guys in esports. Like, he's great at what he does. So I'm really excited to see him back with Cloud9 this time in an Apex capacity. And I'm glad to see Cloud9 continuing to grow their Apex roster, competing in a lot of tournaments coming up as well.
Exciting stuff there. Unfortunately, with arrivals, we do have departures as well. Team Liquid and Salem part ways. So Liquid is still remaining with four Smash players. Unfortunately, Salem will not be continuing under that Team Liquid brand. They do still have Hungrybox, who's one of their most notable players, if not the most notable, as far as their scene goes. Cloud9 is also parting ways with Standin Zealous from their CSGO team. They parted ways with Flusha last week when Golden returned, Golden being the in-game leader that came over from Fnatic. He is now back. We see Flusha leaving, and we see Zealous leaving as well. So good thing coming in for CSGO for Cloud9. definitely some big changes coming in. Flusha being a veteran leaving, Golden being an in-game leader coming back. I think there are definitely some growing pains for Cloud9 ahead.
Yeah, Cloud9 has really been inconsistent with their roster. A lot of turnovers, a lot of additions. Ever since their Boston Major last year, almost 1 year to the day, almost, really, it feels like, since that Boston Major victory last year. It's tough. You know, it's tough when you have an amazing roster that leads you to the, you know, a major title in CSGO, and then everyone kind of departs and goes their separate ways. Now Cloud9 is struggling to kind of find, trying to find that chemistry again. They're trying to find what works best for them in their CSGO team. It's good, but Joey, I do agree with you. I think there's going to be growing pains for Cloud9 going ahead for the Boston Major winners.
Moving on into partnerships, we have G2 Esports raising that money we talked about at the top of the show. That is $17.3 million in Series A funding. John, this is giant. We keep seeing it over and over, G2 being one of the newer ones joining into this funding round foray, I would say. Seasoned NYC investors, including Seal Rock Partners, Al Tillis, and Dan Gilbert, joined Parkwood Corporation and Everblue Management to lead the round. On top of that, and alongside this group, John, these are some crazy names coming out. A group of leading tech and sports entrepreneurs, including Yext co-founder and president Brian Distelberger, Doodle founder Mike Naif, and Topgolf media president Yuqiang Chen, among others. So, John, some really big names, a lot of up-and-coming top companies coming out. Topgolf, you and I have both been there, definitely up-and-coming on this East Coast region. We've seen it grow, and we've seen locations pop up all around us. On top of that, the capital will be used to accelerate their global expansion. We've seen G2 really expand into Spain a lot recently, Barcelona being one of those big areas. And as they move their capital to Berlin, they've been expanding in that area as well. So between Spain, Germany, France as well, G2 has made steps in. I'm excited to see how they continue to build this globally.
Now, do we know if this is the same Dan Gilbert that owns the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I do not off the top of my head.
I would hope not. These investors are amazing. Some of the leaders that are coming into this this venture really are huge. A lot of experience. A lot of experience building brands, building content. You cannot put a price tag on what, and these are just a handful of people that are going into this venture, really bring into esports. It's different ways of thinking. It's different mindsets. It's different ideas. It's just different all around. It's great when you can bring all those people together into one room and just kind of pick each other's brains to come up with something that's absolutely amazing. Joe, you mentioned Topgolf. Topgolf is absolutely killing it at everything they do. I'm not a golfer. I go to Topgolf fully expecting to be made fun of when I miss the ball at least 18 times before I finally make contact with it. I am not a golfer, not even close to being a golfer, but I still have fun. It's a great time. There's great food, great drinks, great friends, great everything. So Topgolf is doing something right. Their social media presence is really well, is really great too. And they attract a ton of people, common folk and celebrities alike. You hear about Topgolf all the time. So Topgolf obviously doing something right here. Yext, Doodle, two other great companies as well, bringing their experience into this whole venture as well. So it's great for G2 Esports. $17.3 million in Series A funding. That's absolutely incredible for G2. And I can't wait to see what they're going to do to expand their brand going forward with this investment.
And Topgolf is in such a unique space as well because it's really golf gamified a bit. So golf in and of itself is a game. It's a sport, but it does cross those game lines. There's scoring. There's competition. That's kind of how it works. On top of that, though, with Topgolf, you gamify it by making it more electronic. You throw chips in the balls. You throw a scoring system up on a screen. So it's kind of in a unique space between sport and gaming, kind of like we see with Rocket League in a sense, where we see soccer and cars kind of being combined into a game. I'm curious if we see Topgolf being able to break into this esports space in their venues as well, or if we see them start to build new venues that are more tailored to esports and gaming.
Yeah, I mean, their venue is already impressive as it is. If they're somehow able to incorporate esports into their venues, that will just bring another incredible element to their already impressive resume when you take a look at Topgolf itself and, again, those buildings that they put out there. Because it feels like every Topgolf on the outside may look the same, but on the inside, it's completely different. Their restaurants, what they're serving and just the atmosphere, everything is completely different no matter which Topgolf you go to. But that's one of the cool, unique things. It's a familiar name. It's a familiar face. But when you get inside, it's a completely new experience, which is something that's really awesome with Topgolf.
Starting 2019 Midseason Invitational, you can now purchase Nike and LPL esports-themed clothing as the two powerhouses have finally come together. We talked about this, John. It feels like 6-7 weeks ago that they were rumored to come together. They finally have. A deal is in place. One of the big things holding that deal back was because individual clubs had different deals with different apparel sponsors. That's all been worked out. Nike is coming on come MSI. On top of that, the LPL team jersey designed by Nike will be unveiled during the 2019 World Championship Finals this year. And expect more to come. They're talking shoes are in the works as well.
I mean, it's huge. Anytime Nike puts an effort into whatever league they decide to invest in, like I remember when, you know, Nike took over the Reebok contract for the NFL, you know, a lot of people, you know, were talking about how, you know, Nike's going to bring their own personal swag to it and everyone's going to love it. And kind of like that was kind of an iffy launch, if you will, with the NFL. Like some of their fly wire collars were causing issues. Some things were falling off. People were saying the quality of the jerseys went down from where Reebok was. But that's very, you know, Nike's got some bad press recently, mainly from that player from Duke and his amazing blowout of his sneaker mid-game that caused him a knee injury. So Nike's looking for something positive here, and I feel like this is a great move. Nike making its way into esports even farther. Now they're going to be the official jersey designer of the LPL. Really, I feel like that's just the beginning. I'm actually surprised that we don't see more clothing designers or fashion designers, if you will, jump into esports. You see Adidas kind of dabbling with certain organizations that they already have partnerships with. FC Schalke being the one that comes to mind the most because they have a contract with all of their jerseys, whether it's soccer or esports. They all fall under Adidas, so they manufacture, you know, the Schalke 04 jerseys. But I'm really surprised we don't see this more often. I feel like this is a great training ground, if you will, for Nike. Already established in China with the NBA, and a lot of their factories and a lot of what they do is based in China already. So really, it's almost like a no-brainer for them to expand into esports into China first. I would expect to see this grow. It wouldn't surprise me to see it come to North America. It wouldn't surprise me to see Adidas counter this and try to take over the LEC, almost said EULCS, but the LEC. It wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, Puma try to do something more than just sneakers. You know, it really is the beginning of something big here. And as esports becomes more mainstream, they're going to try to hop on those fads. They're going to try to hop on the streetwear sensation, kind of like what Team Liquid's doing to provide that higher quality apparel that gamers and, you know, esport fans really want. And having Nike make that crossover is absolutely huge.
And one we keep seeing make it over and over is Champion, who also picked up Optic Gaming here, adding them to the roster. So Champion now supports, it feels like, four or five teams, and they're continuing to do memorabilia stuff too. They're not Fanatics' main sponsor, but they did a Worlds commemoration as far as a hoodie and sweats, I think they did. Mm-hmm. But overall, they continue to jump in. They continue to find opportunities. Champion really making a new name for themselves in esports. Going back to the LPL quickly, though, John, on the Twitter account for the LPL, it says the LPL team jersey designed by Nike will be unveiled during the 2019 World Championship. I honestly have no idea what that means. So are we going to see a normal LPL jersey as far as different teams' logos just on it, but it's a main jersey that stays the same? Or do you think it might be a translation error where they mean jerseys and they'll be showing all the teams that will be returning for the next split, all the team jerseys?
I'm going to say jerseys.
That's kind of what I'm leaning toward.
Yeah, I don't see how having a league jersey with all the teams represented, I don't see that selling well. I don't see that as a demand. Especially when you take a look at, I hate using traditional sports as kind of like my guide here, but there's really nothing else to compare it to. When the NFL puts out these hats and these jackets have all the team logos on it, look, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I am not going to wear anything that has Oakland Raiders on it. I don't care if it has, you know, 20 plus other teams on that jacket. I don't care. It's got that stupid logo on it, so I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to buy it. I have no desire to. I want something that supports my team, that lets me identify with that team. So,
okay, let me jump in and clarify just quickly. So I was thinking more, so I'm agreeing with you. I think it's going to be different, unique jerseys. But what I meant was a lot of people are thinking it could be one solid jersey with different logos on it. So like yours would have your Denver Broncos logo. Mine would have my Royal Never Give Up logo. Like it wouldn't be every single logo. It'd be one logo on a main jersey is one of the thoughts that people are thinking.
No, I think with Nike's track record, they're gonna be like what we see in the NFL. Every team can design their own jersey with Nike, and then they're gonna put out their own jersey structured by Nike. That's really the only way I can see this going. I can't think of any jersey manufacturing sponsorships in the LPL off the top of my head. So I feel like that's really your mainstay. When you take a look at the NALCS or the LCS now, whatever, all the teams pretty much manufacture their own. I know Team Liquid had a partnership with Jinx for a while. Some other teams may, you know, put it out so it's like a third party to do it for them. But really, there's no official jersey maker. And I feel like that's where we're trying to go to here with Nike and the LPL. So really, if it does take off in the LPL, I see that coming to other regions as well.
And it's something that I feel like traditional sports already has in almost every league. I feel like it's almost more of a league contract as opposed to a team individual contract. And esports right now is so heavily built, really, on esports being individual contracts. Mm-hmm. I think seeing this go over to a league, and the LPL is a perfect place to demonstrate it, as well as the LCK in Korea, as we see this happening more and more, especially like with the really the LEC, I feel like rebranded very well this year. I'm surprised we didn't see it come out at the beginning of that rebrand. The LCS is another opportunity to continue their rebranding. So I'm really expecting this to be in all of the major leagues and maybe minor leagues another year or two later. We already mentioned Optic, so let's move into our other news section. In the first time since 2013, EVO will not host a Super Smash Bros. Melee tournament at its marquee event. John, people are up in arms on this. Melee has been a huge staple of EVO for so many years. One thing to note, though, they will be welcoming Super Smash Ultimate, so they are getting rid of a Smash game, but bringing one in as well.
It's a very unpopular opinion, and rightfully so. You're forcing the scene to grow into the next evolution of Super Smash. We saw this, with the Call of Duty scene. Every time there's a new Call of Duty that came out, they may stick on a title for X amount of time, but eventually you're going to want to move on to the next game that has a different challenge to it. Do I feel like this is the right time to get rid of Melee? I really don't. I think that's a terrible decision. I feel like you need to make an announcement prior to, you know, as close as we are to EVO. I feel like that's something that needed to be announced at last year's. It was, hey, look, you know, we're exploring this idea of bringing in the next evolution of Super Smash being Ultimate. It feels like you're betraying an entire community. And if there's one incredibly passionate community, it's that Melee community. Super Smash Melee has an incredible community. Joey, you and I see it here in the Washington, D.C. area. There's a huge, huge Melee community here. So it feels like the way they did it, one, very typical of esports. Two, it feels like it's alienating a fan base by doing it the way they did. But I don't knock them for wanting to go on to the next evolution of that game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I get it in a sense. Like, it's hard as a fan of Melee as well because the scene is so vibrant and there's so much backing behind it. At the same point, as you want to add new games, like one of the new games they added is Mortal Kombat 11. If you're adding in new games, you're not going to have space for all of these other games. Something's got to get cut. Unfortunately for the Melee fans, it is Melee here, but they added another Super Smash title to try to move those players into it to allow them to continue coming to EVO and competing. At the same point, it is a very different game. You and I have played both of them. They feel very different compared to one another, so it's hard to move from one scene to another. But if you're trying to expand into new scenes, into new fighting, really game communities, you have to find a way to add those titles in, and you have to get rid of some titles to do so. So I think we're kind of mixed on this one overall. We get where the developers or the conference management is coming from at the same point. It's hard not to alienate the scene in this way. Ooh, this next one's spicy. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred pledges more esports progress from MLB in 19, acknowledging that the league's esports strategy to date, in quotes, has been kind of a weak spot. You and I can talk about this one all day, it feels like. I was actually a Game Battles admin of the, I think it was MLB 2K8 or 2K9 scene. I did a bunch of tickets and things like that, ran the whole league worldwide. As a high schooler, good times, esports, hey. But I loved it. I really enjoyed watching people play the game. I really enjoyed the tournaments we put on. At the same point, the 2K franchise is not really around for baseball anymore, is it? I feel like it hasn't developed a game in years.
The only baseball game right now is available on that beloved platform that Joey loves so much, the PlayStation, and that's MLB The Show, which is actually developed by Sony. EA lost all the rights to it. I think they actually didn't care anymore. They just kind of gave up on it. Joey, there's so much to say here. So if you have anything, you might as well get it out now.
I mean, there really is. There's a ton to say here. One of the things they've tried to do is go into VR. That, to me, is not the answer. I don't really enjoy watching VR as a viewer. It might be fun to play as far as in the tournaments themselves, but as a viewer, how am I going to watch that? I'm going to watch someone swing around in the air, or do I watch the game, but then not going to see their mechanics and their movements? It's just, I don't feel like there's a win there. Overall, I feel like you have to go into the game. You have to develop it in that way. I think it's a good game, though. Like, the scene for MLB 2K9 or 2K8 or whatever I ended up doing back then was great. It was vibrant. There were a ton of players competing for top spots. I think it's doable, but you need to have the league buy into it.
Yeah, so a couple things. I completely agree with you on the whole VR. It's great to actually do. I went to the All-Star game at Nats Park last year. It was a lot of fun. My friend actually has it for his VR set at his house. A lot of fun. Mechanics-wise, the problem with VR in baseball is you don't have to have form. You don't have to have timing. You just have to flick your wrist at the right time, and that's about it. And you can send the ball 500 feet outside the ballpark. So it's very unrealistic, but it is fun as a player to play. As an esport, absolutely not. The Nationals also, when they opened their ballpark, had an MLB The Show gaming area. It was huge. I believe it was one of the first ballparks in Major League Baseball to have a video game area right next to where the playground was for the kids. And nobody went to it. Nobody was interested. It wasn't advertised. It wasn't marketed. It was just kind of there, and they eventually got rid of it and put in the team store to where it's currently located. So it's like five times the size that it originally was when a park originally opened. So they got rid of it, and they haven't done anything else with it ever since. That's kind of where Major League Baseball is when it comes to esports. When they say it's been kind of a weak spot, I'm going to go ahead and erase weak spot and just call it non-existent. Because they really haven't done anything. Joey, we touched on it several months ago, I believe after last baseball season ended. There was a MLB The Show tournament, and there were players competing in it for charity. And one of my favorite players on the Nationals, Trey Turner, even competed in it. And they were talking about how fun it is, how the fans get involved with it, how it's exciting to just kind of like play a video game version of themselves. And just the community loved it. Now, here's the thing. Major League Baseball has been struggling with the younger generations. Millennials and Generation Z have really been struggling to either get interested in baseball, stay interested in baseball, or just give to fill in the blanks about baseball. And they try everything in the book to make it interesting for younger generations to want to care about baseball. And they make these crazy rules that alienate baseball fans when really all they need to do is what Major League Soccer did. All they need to do is what a lot of other teams and leagues in soccer leagues around the world have done. They dove headfirst into FIFA esports. They brought in an amazing title that is FIFA that has a huge following. Joey, you mentioned of it. There's a big baseball scene when it comes to baseball video games. People like playing it. I have a friend who's not really big into video games, but he buys The Show every year and puts in hundreds and hundreds of hours into it. And I actually talked to him at the DC United game last night, Joey, that we both ended up being at unexpectedly. I talked to him about it last night, and he said he would actually be interested in watching Major League Baseball esports because he likes baseball and he likes the video game, but he doesn't really want to get into esports because those two don't really exist yet. So when Manfred comes out here and says that he is exploring esports for baseball, I'm not holding my breath at all. He says there's going to be an announcement later this year. I don't know what it's going to be, because at the end of the day, Joey, a 9-inning simulated baseball game, because that's what The Show is. It's not really an arcade game. It's a simulation game. 9 innings of a simulation baseball game is incredibly long and drawn out. And unless you like baseball, you're not going to tune into it, because that's one of the things that's unique about baseball is the fact of there is no clock, that there is no time limit. It just keeps going. So are they going to cut the games in half? Are they going to limit it to 5 innings, 6 innings, pitching changes? If they end up doing this, our team's going to buy in on it. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with it, because I honestly feel like this is a way for Major League Baseball to bring in those young people again, to bring in those young viewers, to get people caring about baseball again through esports, kind of like how MLS is doing it right now, really kicking some serious butt with the EMLS League and bringing young people back to MLS.
Yeah, most definitely, John. I think you hit on some great points there. In addition to that, I do have to say it's not as bad to watch as you think it might be. It goes a lot quicker than a normal baseball game does. A lot of it is just people just try to go through batters, try to keep momentum going in their favor. And just because it being a game, you can easily skip through all the changes. Mm-hmm. Mound visits are much quicker. You don't have to watch the whole animation. And you can cut those animations out as far as from the setting side before you even get into the game. So I think it's a good possibility that we see them go that route. At the same point, I think you want to implement a mercy rule. If someone's up by a high amount, you don't want that game to keep going. Maybe you throw one in at the third inning. Maybe you throw one in at the sixth inning and have checks along the way. If someone gets up by, I would say 10 runs. 10 runs is pretty ridiculous. So if you're up by that high, it should be over. 6 runs you can come back from in the park grand slam. That gives you 4 right there. So there's a ton of different things that could happen as far as the baseball scene goes. Overall, I think you can go the 9 innings, but you do have to make sure that the timing does not drag. I don't think it will. An arcade route is a possibility, like you mentioned. To me, a home run derby is so boring to watch in-game. You're really just flicking the analog stick up, and it's like, okay, next. Yeah. So for me, you do have to do something different. At the same point, you just need to watch the timing of it, like you said. So it's complicated. I mean, he doesn't have an easy decision ahead of him. My issue with it is going to be that he's going to lean toward this VR route. He's going to think he's jumping ahead of the competition because everyone else is doing the games, the simulation games, that is, as opposed to VR style, and he wants to jump ahead of competition. I really don't think that's the way to go.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Manfred English definitely thinks outside of the box, sometimes a little too far outside of the box. But I definitely see him going the VR route, unfortunately, when it comes to baseball. It was incredibly popular at the All-Star game last year when I got to experience it. There were lines that literally wrapped around the entire ballpark. So I feel like he's going to take that experience and run with it, which is unfortunate because that's not going to turn into a good esport if Major League Baseball goes that VR route. But as a huge baseball fan and someone who loves playing the show, I'm going to be a little reserved here. I think that there is a huge possibility here. But again, with baseball having a bunch of old people running it that don't understand the youth or esports or video games, really, I also have a lot of doubts with their ability to do anything in regards to esports.
Yeah, I think you keep the VR experience for the fans in the stadium themselves. I think that's a great way to engage. Much easier for people to switch off and do a home run derby in VR as opposed to playing a 9-inning game on a console. So I really think that's good for in-person and fans. But as opposed to esports, it's just not going to work, in my opinion. So I hope we see them go a different route there. At the same point, I am excited to see how this continues to develop, John. MLB is one of those professional leagues that has taken the slower route of getting into this. With Sony owning the show, Sony is definitely looking forward to sponsoring competitions. They've already done it for FIFA and bought in very heavily. I could see them buying into MLB as well, but the conversations need to be had. It sounds like they're starting to get there, and hopefully Sony can help direct them toward the right way as far as esports goes.
Well, it needs to do that, and I'm going to go out here. I'm going to say it, Joey. Brace yourself. Are you sitting down? I think you're sitting down. It looks like you're sitting down. Okay, I need you to drink your espresso real quick. If the show becomes a legitimate esport for Major League Baseball, The show needs to be available on Xbox. Hands down, period, in a story. You cannot keep it console exclusive. It has to be available to the larger public. I really don't feel like it could be an esport and really attract people the way it needs to if it's console exclusive. That's just my own personal opinion. I am very fond of having it on PlayStation, and I'm very greedy about having it on PlayStation, but I feel like if it does take off, it needs to be available on multiple platforms.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, and I could also see this as a potential reemergence of another baseball game as well, whether it be one of the 2K series or whether it be one of the other series that kind of died out. If they want, they could go that route as well and try to bring up a competitor. A little bit harder since those games did die out and the show still has a pretty good fan base. I would say probably one of the most solid as far as sports game fan bases go outside of those ones that are multi-console. But overall, we'll have to see what happens. I think either way is a good route, but the MLB doesn't have a lot of cards in their favor. They just need to read through them and play them right. Apex Legends hits 50 million players in its first month. John, this is a game that continues to break records as far as this goes, now breaking Fortnite's record with the most players in its first month. 50 million, John, and I don't feel like they're done yet.
No, and then that just goes to show you that people in the Battle Royale scene are craving something different that's not Fortnite. But what I also love about Apex is it's finally driving change in Fortnite. They have a ping system for communication, which I don't know why I didn't think of this before, Joey, but when Apex came out, I was like, a ping system? That's brilliant. That's amazing. It's available in a lot of other titles, but not in Battle Royale. It's not groundbreaking. It's not. But the way they implemented it felt like it completely changed the game. You know, players that don't like to use, you know, comms in multiplayer games can still communicate with their team without having to stop, open chat, and type to their team, and then continue to go. They can communicate via ping. That's so smart. It's unique. Well, it was unique, but now it's implemented in Fortnite. It forced Fortnite to do something because of the massive popularity of Apex and the fact that they keep growing and growing and growing their community. Respawn. Not the developer, but Respawn itself, respawning in the game. Fortnite, you got knocked down and you're dead. You might as well load up in your next game. Hop on the battle bus. Let's go. Apex, you have that respawn opportunity. You're not done yet. It is truly the most team-centered battle royale game. And now we hear that Fortnite is teasing a respawn. That tells you that if Fortnite, the largest battle royale game, really the largest game sweeping the world, is making those changes, that's a signal to you that Apex is a true competitor to Fortnite. And 50 million players for an unannounced game that launched 4 weeks ago? Massive. Absolutely massive. Joey, you and I are proud members of that 50 million players club there. Now, just a real quick sidetrack. Did you get a chance to see the video they put out on social media, thanking the community for 50 million players?
Yeah, are you talking about the Mozambique line?
Yeah, where there were like one Mozambique kill. My response on Twitter automatically was, that's an inflated number. That there's no one has ever gotten a kill with a Mozambique. If you were killed by a Mozambique, shame on you. Uninstall the game.
I'm curious to see if we ever see Mozambique buffs or if they just keep it going as a meme. I think they're just going to keep it going.
Keep it as a meme. You have to keep it as a meme. It's one of the best memes out there right now.
Oh, it's so good. I still like the one we posted on the OTN Discord with the little clue thing. And it's, what was it like, which weapon does damage or this weapon does damage? And everyone's taking the Mozambique flap down or the Guess Who or whatever game it was.
That game Heads Up. And the person asked the question, was like, does this gun do damage? And they said, yes. So they flipped down Mozambique. It was absolutely priceless. Like, I saw that the same time you posted it, and I absolutely love that meme. It's a meme that's got to keep going. If you're in-game, ping your Mozambiques, players. Come on, you got to communicate with your team. Let them know where the Mozambiques are.
Oh, my gosh. Nintendo, John, they have announced new Pokemon titles, new mainstream Pokemon titles. We have Pokemon Sword and Shield heading over, coming out in a 7-minute Pokemon Direct announcement. How specific was that, by the way? Nintendo saying we're going to have a 7-minute announcement.
I mean, kudos for them to realizing how long their video was. I mean, if I'm a viewer and I'm like, oh, yo, 7 minutes? Okay, cool. I know what I'm getting myself into. Versus when I press play and I go, oh, seven. Ugh, do I really have time for this? Can I watch all of it right now? I think I'm going to come back to this. 7 minutes is very specific.
Oh, it was brilliant. I mean, and they did a good job. They packed it full of information. So as far as this is a completely different direction for Pokemon in the sense of the naming. So we've seen other stuff. We've seen, was it red, blue, yellow, green? So it was all colors. And then we went to minerals and diamonds with diamond, sapphire, ruby, different type of gemstones. Then from there, we kind of made some other switches. We went to leaf green and so on and so forth. Pearl, all that good times. Now we're at Sword and Shield. This is a very, very different naming. What do you think kind of went into their thoughts here with this name change?
You know, I honestly don't know. I really don't. I was kind of hoping for, I don't know. Like, I still have my Pokemon Yellow from, like, when I was a wee little lad. and I absolutely love playing that still to this day. I like the colors. You know, when you had, you know, you talk about Pokemon Red, you're talking about, you know, Charmander as your starting Pokemon. When you're talking about Pokemon Blue, you're talking about, I mean, granted, you could choose other things too, but, you know, Charmander was the featured Pokemon there. And I think that the big difference too, and correct me if I'm wrong, I've kind of stopped playing Pokemon for a couple generations here. The big difference between Pokemon Blue and Red was the fact that they had different sets of Pokemon in it. You had your unique base Pokemon, but then you had other Pokemon that were only available in those games. And if you wanted it on your version of the game, but it was only available in the other one, you had to make a trade with a friend that had that game who was willing to give up that Pokemon. If they're still doing that, one, that's a great way to have someone buy both games. But two, it's also a great way to like still build that community. Pokemon is a community that hasn't gone anywhere since the time it launched in Japan. It's still one of my favorite TV shows I'll go back to every now and then to just kind of watch. I still follow the scene. I really enjoy it. Joey, when I saw this announcement, the first thing that popped in my head was I need a Nintendo Switch. It's something that it's exciting to me. You know, Pokemon is a universal game. Whether you're 8 or you're 25 or however old you are, you know, it's one of those games that is universal. It's a lot of fun, and the graphics have come such an incredibly long way from what it was on the Game Boy Color. So I'm excited for it, but as for the names itself, I have no idea why they picked Sword and Shield.
Yeah, I haven't played in a few generations either. I feel like it was Diamond or Pearl, if I'm remembering correctly. That was my last gen of Pokemon, so that's been like 2, 3, maybe even 4 ago. I will be buying back in for this one. I will be going Sword or Shield. I'm not sure which one yet. Might even flip a coin on that one because I don't know the difference yet. But yeah, I think the whole thing of legendaries as well as some other Pokemon being different between the versions is still going to happen. On top of that, I think it's still a thing. Like in Red and Blue, you had to trade certain Pokemon to certain versions to get them to evolve a certain way. It might have even been a little bit later on, but I think that is still a thing as well. And now you have such a different thing, John. Like, I don't remember, at least for you, but I guess DS was different. But back in like the SP days, the Game Boy Advance days, we had to trade over the trading cable. You have the whole Nintendo Online, obviously not the greatest online platform, but hey, now we can trade with each other over online. So if we have a friend in Utah, say one of the people we talk to on Discord every once in a while.
No friends in Utah.
Oh, yeah, we got friends in Utah.
No friends in Utah.
One of them's in our chat, actually, right now.
Oh, yeah, Tots, hey, what's up?
But hey, on top of that, I mean, I think this is huge because now it's become more worldwide, and it's been like this for a few generations, but you and I really not pulling into Pokemon recently haven't experienced that. So I think this is going to bring a lot of people back, especially with the new updated graphics, a new region, a new storyline, new starters that are great. I don't know if you saw the meme, but they've actually compared the stances that the starters are in with the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, I did see that. Joey, you being a huge fan of the
Powerpuff Girls, don't even go there.
Are you more of a Bubbles Pokemon kind of player, or are you more? I'm blanking on the other two names. I'm sorry.
We have Grookey for the grass Pokemon, your new version Bulbasaur. Score Bunny is your new version Charmander.
Score
that
Bunny
fire type.
All the way.
And then Sobble comes in as your water Pokemon, that Squirtle update. Yeah, Score Bunny's cool. I'm between Score Bunny and Sobble. I usually choose water Pokemon overall, but every once in a while, I think every maybe two generations, I went fire type. I don't think I've ever pulled grass type, though.
No, I mean, who wants to go? You don't go grass type. If you want to win, if you actually want to beat the game, you never go grass type. Ever. Who chose Bulbasaur? No one chooses Bulbasaur in the original. Absolutely just, you don't want to do it. You pick either Charmander or Squirtle. Why? Because they're obviously the two cooler Pokemon. Same thing here. Score Bunny, hands down. Hands down. Now, the controversy around it is not only is it the stance, but the bandage on their nose. The community is terrified that this fire-type Pokemon is going to evolve into a fighter-type Pokemon, which I think is a legitimate fear because that completely changes the dynamics of what that Pokemon can and can't do. Fighting type, at least back in the original generation, in the earlier generations, I should say, fighting types really weren't that great. You know, Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee, two great fighting Pokemon, but they really didn't do too much. They were rare, they were cool to have, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to kick a rock? You're going to kick a Geodude?
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, timeout. They were so much better than that because you could elementally fuse them. You could throw your ice kicks, your fire punches, all that. Psychic punch was crazy. So they're not as bad as you make them sound.
Look, later on in generations, you could do that. Absolutely. And I feel like that's what helped make them a little bit better. But I'm sorry. Keep Score Bunny a fire type Pokemon. That's what I need. Keep him a fire type and I'll be happy. Simple as that.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see how
totally
that goes.
Fighter.
I think Sobble is going to become a new Pokemon meme, though. I really think that face he makes is going to take over for that Pikachu meme we saw for a while.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just telling you, give it time. Okay, let's head on over to Overwatch. We got a little bit more to break down before we go into that league story. Overwatch adds a new hero, Baptiste, into the fray. John, to break down his backstory a bit. Age 36, his occupation is a combat medic in Overwatch. He's from Haiti, Tortuga, Haiti, to be exact. Affiliation is going to be the Caribbean Coalition, as well as Talon, formerly. So some cool backstory there. You guys can dive into that at playoverwatch.com. On top of that, though, John, we need to talk about his kit because he is a support and you are a support player. Breaking it down at the beginning, the Biotic Launcher. Baptiste's three-round burst Biotic Launcher rewards accuracy and recoil control with significant damage output. It also doubles as a healing device, lobbing projectiles that heal allies near the point of impact. What are your thoughts on his weapon?
So when I first saw the video, the first thing it reminded me of was Jinx in League of Legends, how she can change her auto attack from like a machine gun to a rocket launcher. That's kind of what it looked like to me. I like this idea. It's like a combination Anna and... I really can't think of something else. I mean, it kind of like Anna and Zenyatta a little bit. You know, you can do the damage. Yeah, you have a ton of damage coming out of your launcher with the three-round burst, but you can also heal. I really like the basic attack for Baptiste going forward. I think it's unique. I'm kind of curious, is it going to be a splash damage or is it going to be more along the lines of Anna where you actually have to directly hit the target or the hitbox of that target? I feel like it's going to be more along the lines of Anna having to directly hit them because of some of his traits later on that we're going to talk about. I feel like that's more of a AOE or AOH area of healing ability. So I like it so far. I think it's unique. I think it's different. And I think supports are getting buffed finally.
Okay, let's buff him up with some regenerative burst as well. That's his first ability here. Baptiste activates an intense regenerative burst that heals himself and nearby allies over time. John, to me, this sounds like a combination of Ana's grenade as well as Lucio's heal.
Sorry, I'm totally replying to chat right now. I'm so sorry. Yes, you're talking about the regenerative burst, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's your AOH, if you will, your area of healing that I was talking about, which makes me feel like the Bionic Launcher has to be like an Anna thing where you have to directly hit your player to heal them with that way. I like it. Is this the end of GOATS? Probably not. I feel like that ability alone is going to help keep GOATS going. If you're in the competitive Overwatch scene and you're a fan of that, it's going to keep that GOATS comp going. And some of his other abilities are really going to it's not going to be the end of GOATS. Some of the other nerfs that we saw come out last patch, a lot of people were claiming it's the end of GOATS. It's not. It's just going to merely tweak some things here and there. So I like it, though. It's going to make him a viable healer, having that ability.
Sweet. Okay, next two abilities, Immortality Field. Baptiste uses a device to create a field that prevents allies from dying. The generator can be destroyed. So kind of like Orisa's ult, where it is something that comes out, it amplifies, but it can end up being destroyed. And then we have the Amplification Matrix. Baptiste creates a matrix that doubles the damage and healing effects of friendly projectiles that pass through it. Both of these kind of work in similar ways, John. It's kind of like an opposite effect, really. One blocks, and the other ends up amplifying the healing effects or the damage effects. So I think this is going to make him very versatile, and I feel like this allows him to fit into multiple different comps because he can kind of play defensive or aggressive.
Yeah, so let me double check this. His ultimate is a combination of either the Immortality Field or the Amplification Matrix, correct? As I catch Joey mid-drink.
Sorry, what was that?
The Immortality Field and the Amplification Matrix, that's right. His ultimate, correct?
I believe so, yes.
And he has to choose between those two.
I believe that's how it works.
Okay, but
no,
then,
it is.
So is Exo Boots his passive then?
Exo Boots is his passive. Yes,
is his passive. Okay. Or would the Amplification Matrix be his ultimate?
You know, it would be great if Overwatch's site actually broke this down, or if we looked at this ahead of time.
Yeah, either one would have helped amazingly. You know, it's.
See, we looked at this last week because it came out right after we did the show, and then I don't think we looked back since then. Either way, these look awesome to me. I believe it is the Amplification Matrix is his ultimate.
Okay.
It just seems so much more powerful.
Yes, shout out to Tots here in our chat for clarifying. They're two different abilities. Amp is ult, immortality is ability. Exo Boots is the passive. So at least we got
okay, so we are right. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, so in that case, the immortality field as an ability, I like that idea that that's it's small, so it's not really going to necessarily be a huge game changer. But on payload maps, on those hybrid maps that have tight corridors, that's really where this ability is going to come into play. It's going to be absolutely huge. And same thing with your amplification matrix. If you're in a tight corridor and you need to try to get out of that corridor, you need to try to be a little bit more aggressive, you need to do more damage, that's where this is really going to come in. And really, you have to use it in those tight corridors because, I'm sorry, unless you're playing a team that isn't really paying attention at all, it's easy just to move around to the sides of it and continuing to fight from the sides without taking that amplified damage. So it's not OP in the sense of, you know, it's not like an auto aimbot for Soldier 76. It's not like a gigantic explosive for D.Va, but it's one of those things where it's like, if you're not paying attention and a good Baptiste really catches you off guard and throws that down, it can blow through your team in a heartbeat, which is also why I feel like in a GOATS comp that requires that upfront close proximity, that's where this really comes into a big play for Baptiste going forward in that GOATS comp. So I really like his kit. I want to play it on PTR. I may do that right after this podcast. Who knows? But his kit sounds absolutely amazing, and I really can't wait to play him.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things it's going to combo well with. Soldier's ult in particular that you mentioned. I think Widow can also hit some pretty good shots off of this. The one in particular that I'm looking forward to, though, is Junkrat. I think this is really going to bring Junkrat further into the pro meta with this particular ability.
Now, you think his Riptire is going to get amplification if he goes through that gate and then swerves off to the side?
Riptire, I guess that would be a projectile. I know his grenades would, and I think that's going to be a huge AoE ability with this amplification. The Riptire, yeah. I don't know. If it does, that's really going to hurt.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious.
What
to
about
see.
D.Va if she projects her suit through there? Is that a projectile?
I mean, you're technically throwing it, so what?
I mean, I guess that already does enough damage already anyway, though.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for Junkrat. As someone who likes to play Junkrat quite a bit, I like to see Junkrat back in the meta. I like to see him back in pro play. I think he's a very unique hero that went through some changes that haven't really been utilized. Does a ton of damage, and I feel like you use him on defense, even for you know, a King of the Hill capture the point kind of map. You know, when I'm, you know, first thing that's coming to mind for me is Anubis, where you have to come through that initial gateway. You know, you have a Baptiste that throws down that amplification matrix on that defense point or on that platform facing that entrance, and you have a Junkrat just spamming going through that thing. You know, just literally he can hold off an entire team depending upon how much of an amplification those you know, projectiles get from Junkrat. He could literally do some serious damage and splash damage that he already does a ton of without it being amplified. So I agree with you 100%. I think Junkrat is a unique hero here that could really benefit from Baptiste.
Ilios as well, I think he would absolutely dominate on with this buff. With that being said, though, let's talk recent, really, tournaments in esports. IEM Katowice happened this past week. We had StarCraft 2 with So taking the win over Sats 4-2 in the finals. Exciting matchup there. But the biggest excitement of the weekend was CSGO with Astralis winning 2-0 over Ents. A little anticlimactic, but the run that Ents had was phenomenal. They ended up taking down Team Liquid and Na'Vi en route to the finals. Two huge upsets. No one really had Ents. The betting wagers, for me, someone that loves to bet on esports, they were definitely not in favor of Ents here, and Ents ended up pulling off two huge victories, a 2-0 over Team Liquid, and then a 2-1 over Na'Vi in those semis. Again, going down 2-0 to Astralis in the finals, but this is an Astralis team that has dominated the CSGO scene for over a year now, it feels like, so it's really no surprise that anyone would lose to them 2-0 at this point. But the fact that Ents continue to fight their own weight, ended up having a decent showing against Astralis. Again, Astralis being that giant in the CSGO scene. So congratulations to Ents on the run and Astralis on yet another win. Anything else on that, John, before we head into League of Legends?
I'm ready for League.
Okay, let's do it. You want to kick us off with the LEC standings?
Also formerly known as the EULCS, the newly branded LEC's current standings, what is that, after week 8? After week 7, are as follows. G2 in first place, 12-2. Team Vitality in second place at 9-5. Origin and Splice in a lovely two-way tie for third, going 8-6. SK Gaming tied 7-7. They're not tied 7-7. That's their record. Alongside of Joey Fnatic finally starting to make a comeback. Misfits and Schalke, all four tied at 7-7. Ninth place, Excel Esports at 3-11. And Rogue, well, they have two wins, 2-12, rounding out the bottom of that LEC table. With that, let's take a quick little gander here at next week. That will be week 8 coming up for the LEC. Joey, I need a match of the week, please.
There's a lot of good ones. I'm going to go with both Misfit matches here. I want to see how Misfits does. We're right at the end here. We're trying to see who's going to get these final playoff spots with really, technically every spot is still open. G2 is not secured first yet. With that being said, they're most likely going to be top two. We're looking at pretty much that third through sixth seed that are going to switch around potentially. Misfits being in one of those spots, Fnatic being up for one of those spots, and then Misfits also playing Schalke 04, who is in contention for the spots as well. So really, how does Misfits look going into the final weeks? Are they going to be that dominant team that people expected at the beginning to be right up there with G2? Or are we going to see Fnatic continue to climb back with a win against Misfits, taking that record to 1-1? Are we going to see Schalke and Misfits as an exciting match? Or does Schalke continue to falter? That's where I'm looking. What does Misfits do? How do these teams they're up against compete? Because we are right at the end, and people need to earn these playoff spots, and these are the matches to do it in.
Yeah, Misfits going up against Fnatic and Schalke. Everyone tied at seven wins, seven losses in fifth place. Joey, like you said, they're battling out for that final position coming down to the end of that spring split. I agree with you. I think those are two exciting matches to watch, both the Misfits matches this weekend. So should be really interesting going forward.
Speaking of interesting, the LCS standings. Number one, Team Liquid still holding strong with ahead by one win over Cloud9. They're sitting at 11-1, Cloud9 at 10-2. Third place is now TSM finally making their way back up top, 7-5. In fourth place, we have a four-way tie between CounterLogic Gaming, FlyQuest, Golden Guardians, and Optic Gaming at 5-7. Then down to eighth place, Echo Fox, good old Rick Fox and Echo Fox. I can't speak today. You see, this is what happens when I have espresso late at night. I hope you guys are enjoying this chat. Echo Fox, Clutch Gaming, and 100 Thieves at 4-8 in that eighth place spot. So, John, the exciting part of NA is still the same as EU. There's a lot of people clumped together right in the middle here, and playoffs are really up for grabs past that first and second spot.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. A lot of people had questions about Cloud9 going into the split, losing Jensen to Team Liquid, bringing Inisky in at mid lane. Cloud9 really holding their own, being very impressive. That game of the week that I called last week, TSM versus Cloud9, one of the original members of Cloud9 picked TSM to beat Cloud9, and Cloud9 did a number on TSM. So really exciting to see Cloud9 really hold their own, even with that huge, huge change at mid lane with Jensen going to Team Liquid. Team Liquid still looking completely unstoppable. Their one loss coming to TSM. Really, I wouldn't say TSM beat them. I would say more like Team Liquid lost to themselves. They did not play well as themselves. They just played an all-around sloppy game. So I'm kind of looking forward to that matchup here coming on down the road. But, Joey, if I had to pick a game for this upcoming week in the LCS, formerly known as the NALCS, because, you know, Europe and North America, we're kind of cool together.
That was a very smooth way of buying time, by the way. I see what you're doing there.
I was not doing anything. Joey, I'm very interested in Cloud9 versus Team Liquid, that 1-2 matchup. Can Cloud9 actually beat Team Liquid? Can Nisky defeat Jensen, you know, the guy he replaced, Ken Jensen, 2-0 his old team? I think that's going to be exciting. I think the first go around, I think Team Liquid really had the huge advantage against Cloud9. I think now that Nisky's had a lot of time with his new teammates on this new team with their strategy, I feel like Cloud9 will put up a better fight against Team Liquid. If Team Liquid plays like they did against TSM, Cloud9 wins this hands down. But Team Liquid has been looking strong in all of their lanes. X-Smithy is looking good. It is X-Smithy, right? I am blanking on that real quick.
Jungle? Liquid jungler?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought it was someone else. X-Smithy for Team Liquid has really been coming on his own. Impact top lane is absolutely a beast. Jensen, you know, arguably the best mid laner in NA, hands down, statistically even. So you can't really make an argument there. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. That game is going to interest me also. But the other one I want to point out real quick is Golden Guardians versus CLG. That is one of those battles of the four spot. The LCS is 1 week behind EU. So they do have one extra week to kind of battle it out. But that is a battle of fourth place. That is CLG and Golden Guardians both at 5-7, both trying to possibly pull a 2-0 week to get back even 7-7 after this week. So huge implications in that game as well.
Not only that, John, not only a fourth place fight, but really all the way through sixth place, because we are looking at playoffs here. One of these teams that's currently tied for fourth is not going to make it in. One of them is going to slide out in that seventh spot. So really, who's going to make playoffs? And now you want that record. You want the advantage to that record. You want to have that 2-0 if at all possible. So if it comes down to tiebreakers, you get the automatic move up. So really, really key match coming up here for Golden Guardians and CLG.
Nation! That does it for another episode of Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network, just like Liam did at the beginning of the show. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and this show. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
Level Up.